Well, a few months ago, we started talking about the Beatitudes, and we've worked our way through several Beatitudes, and this morning, we're going to look at verse 9 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. But let's read through all of the Beatitudes, and then we'll talk about them a little bit, and then we'll discuss this particular Beatitude. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These Beatitudes all have a particular form. There is, first of all, the declaration of blessing. Blessed are, and then the Beatitude itself, right? And then there's the description. It's those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the comforted, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, etc. And then there is the disposition of the blessing itself. That is the consequence of having this attitude within our life. And so they will be part of the kingdom of heaven, or they will be comforted. They will inherit the earth. They will be called sons of God. These Beatitudes are very special. They really do indicate the character of those who would be part of God's kingdom, of those who would be under the rulership of Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus had these attitudes within his life himself, and he exemplified these attitudes for us. And we then need to practice them within our lives also. And so this morning, let's think about this beatitude in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What do we think about when we think about peace? Perhaps you think about the absence of conflict or war in the world. Many people say they pray for world peace. And I think what they mean by that is simply the absence of war. But peace can also be harmonious relationships with other people. And we can have conflict, you know, between others, even when we're not fighting a physical battle with bullets and knives and things like that. We can still come into conflict with our words and with our attitudes and things like that. And so some people think about peace in terms of having harmonious relationships with other people. And I think that's good. We do need to have that. We also need to have the absence of armed conflict in the world. That would be good also. But then there is another idea or thought about peace, and that is an inward idea. Serenity, contentment, peace of mind, sometimes we say, because there is internal conflict within us as well. And that internal conflict can be the worst kind. You know, it's that really from that internal conflict that the other conflicts arise. It's from that internal conflict that we have conflict with other people. It's from that internal conflict that wars arise. James would tell us in James chapter 4 and verse 1, from whence do wars and fightings come from? Come they not from among your own selves and your lusts? Right? It's the internal conflicts that begin first that leads to everything else. And so when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, he's not just talking about making an external peace with others, although that is included. But he's talking about making peace within our own hearts, making peace within our own lives, and especially talking about having peace with God. How can you be a child of God if you don't have peace with God? How can you be a child of God if you're not imitating God's characteristics within your life? And so when we're talking about blessed are the peacemakers, we're talking about having peace within, peace with others, and of course, peace in the world as well. And we need to be peacemakers. Let's think about what it means to be a peacemaker and what God wants us to be in that regard as we think about this beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We need to be peacemakers, first of all, because God is a God of peace. Now, there are so many passages in the Bible that we could look at specifically. Romans 15:33, Romans 16:12, 2 Corinthians 13:11, Philippians 4:9, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Hebrews 13:20. All of these passages proclaim and make it clear that God is a God of peace. That He really wants peace in the world. In fact, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God wants peace with everyone. And He originally created the world in a state of peace. When we think back to the Garden of Eden and what God did there and all of the things that He made in the world, and there He creates His children, Adam and Eve, and He creates all the animals, and the animals, they come before Adam and they're at peace with Him. There's not hostility, there's not conflict in the world. It's all peaceful. And when He makes Eve, there's wonderful, peaceful relationships, you see, between Adam and Eve and between Adam and Eve and God. And there's great harmony there, and there's great peace and no doubt great inner peace as well. But then Satan came and he tempted Eve to take of the fruit, and then she gave to Adam, and he, standing right there watching the whole thing, went ahead and ate of the fruit as well. And as a result of that, conflict came into the world and a destruction of peace. The inner peace was destroyed. The outer peace was destroyed. World peace was destroyed at that point. And the world became a fallen place. And now there's conflict in the world around us because of sin. But not because of God. God is a God of peace. Now, God has provided a way where we can be at peace with one another. In fact, as we learn about the gospel of Christ, we understand that that is God's desire to bring back peace, to bring back that original harmonious state that He created in His Son, Jesus the Christ. Peter preached in Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15 says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach, what? The gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It's the gospel of peace, you see. We need to prepare our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. Yes, the gospel is a word of peace from God. It's a word that is designed to end hostilities between God and man. To end hostilities between among other people. And to end hostilities and conflict even within our own lives. And it's all fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5 and verse 14. Now that's a message of peace. And we want peace within our life. We ought to note that God's peace doesn't come, however, from a tolerance of evil. It doesn't come from that. Evil doesn't create peace. Wickedness doesn't cause peace. It causes hostility. It causes bad relationships. It causes selfishness and evil desires. And where those evil desires are, as James said, there's going to be war and conflict and fighting. God's peace comes as a result of being transformed by His will. And we, each one of us, must be transformed if we're going to have the peace of God within our life. Don't be conformed according to the world, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, we need to have our minds renewed if we are going to have peace, whatever it might be, whether inward peace or outward peace or world peace or peace with God. Our minds must be renewed. God is a God of peace. And Jesus provides the way for us to renew our minds because Jesus was a peacemaker. Among all the other attributes that we read about Him in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, this one stands out. He would be called the Prince of Peace. You know, there is no scripture that teaches that Jesus ever advocated violence toward anyone. And certainly Jesus never harmed anyone in a physical way. You know, when Jesus was betrayed, Peter took out his sword and he was about to fight for Jesus, and he even went so far as to cut off a servant's of the high priest's ear. He cut off his ear. His name was Malchus. But Jesus responded to Peter, "Put up again your sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Matthew 26 and verse 52. And Jesus said in John chapter 18 and verse 26, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here." So we need to understand that Jesus came to bring peace. He did not come wielding the sword. He did not come to enforce His will upon others with His great power or might. Even though, as we sang in that song earlier, He could have called 10,000 angels to stop what was done to Him, but He did not do that. Why? Because God had a plan for peace. And that plan was Jesus. And we need to understand that Jesus brings peace, and that He can bring peace to our lives if we will let Him. And look, we can have that peace that passes all understanding, as Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4. But we've got to give ourselves to Him. We've really got to trust in Jesus. And so while Jesus was not in any sense, a violent person, while Jesus did not come to even end physical peace per se, because there's so much conflict in the world, yet His greatest accomplishment is to bring that spiritual peace that we've been talking about. His greatest accomplishment is to offer the peace that God wants to have with mankind through Him. And really, that's what we need to be concerned about more than anything else. So many people want world peace, you know, and an absence of conflict in the world. Well, that's great. What are you doing about having peace in your own life? Because that's where it starts. You can't end conflict in the world if you still have conflict in yourself. You can't end conflict in the world if there's conflict with God. And that's what Jesus came to change. He came to bring peace between us and God, and then thereby where we could have peace with ourselves and peace with one another. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 14 through 18. It says, "For He, that is Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one." That is, there was a conflict going on between two parties, Jews and Gentiles. And they represent everybody. It could be any two parties. It doesn't have to be Jews and Gentiles. "But He made both one. He broke down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of two one new man, so making peace." You see, Jesus came to bring everybody together. That's what this passage is saying. What was separating us? The law of commandments contained in ordinances. How is it that that separated us? It separated us by pointing out that we were sinful and sinners and that we could not have peaceful relationships with one another because of our sins. That was the purpose of the law, you realize, to make sin exceedingly sinful. But the law could not save. The law could not bring true peace. It could only point out what was wrong with us and with our lives. But Jesus brought peace. You see, He made the two one, and then He reconciled both unto God. How? In one body. Whose body? Christ's body. And what is that body? It is His people, His church. Now we become His people. We become His body when we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we become who He wants us to be by identifying with Him. You see, because Christ is the second Adam. He is the one who sets all things new. He is the one who makes a new creation. Who has for us to be a new creature in Him. And He will do that if we will trust in Him. He killed the enmity. He killed the bad relationships. He killed the hostility, if you will, between us and God. And then He came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. And by Him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now we can be together, you see, in His body, the church, because Jesus brought peace. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be in things in earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1 verse 20. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 1. We need to be peacemakers because God is a God of peace. Because Jesus came to bring peace, and because He wants us to be a peaceful people. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual in nature." That's what Paul is saying. You see, our fight today is not a carnal fight. It's not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. And primarily that spiritual fight is going inside each one of us. That's where it's happening. That's where the battle is raging. Is it going to be our will or is it going to be God's will? That's the question. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Are we going to say the same thing? Now Jesus had perfect peace and contentment in His life. We can have the same thing within our life. If we will lay down our will, it's our will that gets in the way. It's our will that causes the problems. It's our will against God's will when we don't have peace in our life. Well, the Christian is supposed to be a peaceful person. In Romans 12 and verse 18, Paul writes, "If it's possible, as much as lies in you, Live peaceably with all men. And then he said this, dearly beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We're supposed to be a peaceful people. We're not supposed to look for conflicts. We're not supposed to look for fights. We're not supposed to go out trying to antagonize others, trying to intimidate others, trying to make it difficult for other people in their lives. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be at peace. And we're certainly not supposed to seek vengeance within our life. Now, we don't do that for a reason. Because that kind of attitude and that kind of thinking causes deep internal distress and problems. How does that play out within our life, that seeking vengeance? Now you say, oh, well, I don't seek vengeance with anyone. I don't want to have vengeance on anyone. And maybe that's true. But so many times that manifests itself in this way in our life. We say this, look at that person and what he's doing. That's not fair. And then we envy the situation and the circumstance that he or she is in. And then you see, we try to build it up. It's not fair that he's acting that way. It's not fair how he's treating me. It's not fair. And what is the natural response? And I say natural because I mean natural in the sense of the natural man, the sinful man. The natural response when we see others and we say, that's not fair. Well, I'm going to get them. I'm going to make it fair. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. All the while ignoring the real problem. What's the real problem? I'm the real problem. I don't have to make it fair. I don't have to make it right. I don't have to change them. I don't have to make them something that I want them to be. And you know what? The bottom line is, the world is not fair. And no amount of effort that we can take will make it fair. Where lies the solution? Within my heart and within my mind. With Jesus living as my King. When we make it about that, then that's not even going to bother us anymore. That's not even going to be something that causes us consternation. Because we're no longer walking in envy for others. We're no longer constantly looking at other people and saying, oh, he's doing this and she's doing that and that's not fair and this isn't right. And constantly judging, if you will, what's going on in the world around us. But instead, we're content with who we are and with who God made us to be. And then we can really love other people for who God made them to be. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's the foundation of peace within our life. Letting go of our desire for justice. Letting go of our desire for fairness. Letting go of our desire to make things right. God makes things right, not me. God takes vengeance, not me. God makes things fair, not me. Oh, how much hostility we hold within our own breast when we do not allow God to do what God does, but instead take His role upon our own shoulders. Now that's arrogance. Is all it is. And we've got to let it go. We let it go so that we can have peace with other people. And believe me, we will have peace with others when we let that junk go. Because why? We're not going around constantly picking fights with other people, talking about how you're not fair, doing this, that, and the other. But rather, we're content with who we are. I want to be content with who I am. I want to be content with who God made me to be. And I want to let Jesus Christ solve all those problems, because you know what? He can really do it. He can really do it. And I can't. And so we need to put our trust in Him. And a wonderful thing happens as a result of doing that. We receive these wonderful fruit of the Spirit, one of which is peace. We receive the peace of God, which rules in our hearts. Colossians 1 and verse 15. We can follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one can see the Lord. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. You know what holiness is, don't you? It's not being entangled in the affairs of the world and letting all of those things corrupt your soul so that you don't have peace. That's what holiness is. We can have true holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I love that song that we sang. And He is holy. And we need to be holy as He is holy within our lives. Peter says, "For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him put away evil and do good." Listen, let him seek peace and pursue it. Are you doing that in your life? Are you seeking peace? Are you pursuing that peace? Do you have peace with God? Have you made your life right with Him? Has He forgiven your sins? If you need those sins forgiven, then He stands waiting for you to respond to His gracious invitation to come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you who don't have peace within your life. That's who He's talking to. All you that are heavy, labor and are heavy laden, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will have peace within your souls. Jesus says to hear His word and believe it, repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, be baptized for the remission of sins, and have peace with God, and have peace with yourself. You know, when I look at my life, and I think about all the sins I've committed, and look, I've committed some dandies, okay? I really have. But then I think about the fact that I've been forgiven of those sins. And God has put those sins as far away from me as the east is from the west. Now, folks, that's peace. Knowing that. Knowing that He loves me. Knowing that He wants fellowship with me. Knowing that He provides for me. Knowing that He forgives me. But I must humble myself and bring myself before Him in loving submission to His will. Letting go of what I think is right. Letting go of what I believe should be done. And trusting in Him and His word alone. Do you need to come to Jesus today? Why not make that happen while we stand and sing?